I think most of us get the MIQ changes, though, don't we? Three stages, expats from Oz to start, expats from the rest of the world in February, then everyone else from April, but with home ISO all round. Of course, COVID Minister Chris Hipkins with us. Morning.
Good morning.
Why'd you ruin Christmas?
Look, we want to get Kiwis reconnecting. We want to allow a pathway for New Zealanders to come home, but we also want to make sure that we're not dumping a whole host of additional risk on New Zealanders to the point where we end up with a massive outbreak over that Christmas holiday period. So we're doing things in a way that manages that risk, makes sure that risk is spread, and make sure as much as we can that we can keep case numbers to a manageable level, that we can keep hospitalisations down.
How many people have come from Australia, expats, and tested positive and flooded the country with COVID?
There's about three in the last couple of months, but
three.
There's been a very low number of people coming from Australia over the last couple of months. So, you know, when we do make this step, we'll go from having a couple of thousand people across the border in total from all over the world to having potentially, you know, many times that number every day coming in from Australia. So there will be increased risk there.
But that is the future of COVID, though, because the people coming in from Australia, indeed the world, are double vaxxed. And they've tested negative, and nothing in the world is going to change between now and all of next year. So given that, why this approach?
This is the future, but it's about stepping towards the future in a way that we can sustain. If you look at countries that have tried to do too much too quickly, they've tended to find that they end up with a big surge in cases, and they then reimpose restrictions.
Yeah, but they haven't done what we've done.
Restrictions.
We've been unbelievably conservative.
We're trying to remove restrictions in a way that we can sustain so that we don't have to keep going backwards. So if you look at what's happening in Auckland next week, the risk increases next week as life gets back to something much more normal and we see much more normal volumes of activity. And then a few weeks after that, we remove the boundary around Auckland and we see COVID cases, you know, heading out of Auckland in a greater number than they have been. And so those two things, you know, they increase the risk. And then a few weeks later, we increase the risk by bringing in people from Australia. A few weeks after that, we increase the risk by bringing in people from around the rest of the world. So we are increasing that risk, but we're trying to do it in a way that doesn't see us surge case numbers.
The home ISO, is it the high trust model or the one you're running with the business community at the moment?
No, it will be a higher trust model, and we'll set out some more details
No one's going to follow it. They'll wear a mask and that'll be that. It's like you honestly think that level three is level three in Auckland at the moment, don't you? I can tell you it's nothing of the sort. Life's back to normal apart from the stuff that isn't open. You guys are deluded. No one's going to follow your instructions. They're going to go home, and if they need to go out, they're going to go out.
And I think you've just underscored the reason why we step through this in a careful way so that we're not dumping too much risk on, you know, the New Zealand community all at the same time. We acknowledge that when we reopen the border and we're relying on self-isolation, that's not going to be as robust as our MIQ arrangements that we've got at the moment, not even close. And it will mean that we end up with more COVID cases in the community.
What's a high-risk country?
Well, at the moment, pretty much anywhere that's outside of New Zealand, other than our quarantine-free countries, is deemed to be a high-risk country. So you've got low-risk countries, high-risk countries, and very high-risk countries.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, come April, Britain, a lot of cases, will you be allowing people from Britain to come to New Zealand? Is that high-risk or not?
The key decisions that we've made and that we've set out really clearly are about New Zealanders, New Zealand residents, people who normally live here, people who've got a right to come here, being able to come from Australia in January and from the rest of the world.
So you've not decided the third step yet as to who's applicable and who isn't?
No, we've said that step may be phased, but we'll set out more details of that.
Yeah, but what's the criteria? This is the red light system all over again. Nobody understands it because you haven't made up your mind yet. What's a high-risk country and what would you regard a high-risk country right now? Would Britain be high-risk right now?
Well, look, what we're trying to do, Mike, is manage risk so that we don't end up with big surges.
I get all that, but is Britain too big a risk right now to bring people in from Britain to New Zealand? Would they be banned? Would America be banned?
Well, it's not a decision that we're making right now. So we'll make that decision when we get.
Well, nothing's going to change in Britain between now and then. That's going to get a lot better. It's going to be basically the same because this is the future. They have what they have. This is how they're operating. So right now, would Britain be a problem or not?
Like I said, it's going to depend on a whole host of things in the future.
Like what?
I haven't got my crystal ball's no better than yours. I think, but you are right that COVID-19 is here to stay, and we do have to get used to that. But again, it still becomes about making sure that we're managing the risk of COVID-19 so that we don't end up, as other countries have, with all of these continued resurgences. We don't want to have that.
No, but we will, though. You know we will. The moment we open up to the world, that's what's going to happen. All you've done is delay the inevitable.
No, I disagree. If you look at the way we've managed the case, the outbreak that we're dealing with at the moment, and you compare that to Sydney and to Melbourne and to other countries like Germany.
New South Wales has got lower numbers than we do.
They came off a very, very high peak where they ended up with a huge surge.
For a very short period of time, because they cocked up the rollout of the vaccine like we did.
Yeah, and a lot of people are dying on a daily basis still over there.
They're not. They're not. A lot of people aren't dying on a daily basis anymore at all. Their numbers have tailed right down. Look at the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald every morning. Look at the trend for the hospital people and the deaths. It's trending down. It's getting better.
Well, that's because their rates of vaccination have been going up, and they've had that opportunity to catch up. We want to make sure that we get as high a rate of vaccination as we can before we increase the risk, because that is how we end up with lower daily case numbers, lower hospitalisation, and so on.
Let me ask you about the law you passed under urgency last night that bans people from displaying their vax status posters if they wanted to as a business. Did you mean for that to happen, or was that a cock up?
Well, that's someone's opinion, that's what the law does. I don't happen to agree with that. We'll look at that more closely today. I haven't had a chance to go through that. But
oh, good. So if you're a business who's fully vaxxed and you want to display that in your window, you're now saying they can do that?
That's certainly the advice that I've had.
Good. So they will have no trouble from the government or the law in any way, shape or form. This isn't a cock-up. You got it right.
Well, look, we'll check. That person made a claim last night, which I haven't had a chance to verify. It's one person's claim. I haven't had a chance to look at that. But certainly, my understanding is, and the work that we did was that, people will be able to do that if the staff that they have consent to them displaying that information.
Trevor Mallard bagged you. Is that fair or not?
Look, Trevor Mallard has an opposition to urgency as Speaker that he didn't have when he was in government. Sometimes people's views change.
Appreciate your time. COVID Minister Chris Hipkins this morning, and we do congratulate Chris Hipkins for his performance yesterday, award-winning performance at the 1 o'clock as he tried to rectify a dreadful, dreadful wrong.
We acknowledge that it has been very tough.
Barry. Do you fully understand the trauma that some of the people...
This is not about me. Barry.
Do you understand, Minister, the trauma that people...
Yes, I do.
Through?
Barry.
This is about Barry, as it should be.